question. Are three high-profile firings and the loss of a possible $3 to $4 billion when all is said and done enough of a consequence for J.P. Morgan Chase? The bank announced a $2 billion trade loss late last week that may balloon to more than $3 billion when the risky portfolio in question is completely unwound. This has given new impetus on Capitol Hill to tougher regulations to implement the Dodd-Frank Act, which regulates banking practices like the complex derivative trades that are at the center of the J.P. Morgan Chase debacle. Joining us this morning is Derry Dujah, former derivatives trader with J.P. Morgan, now a financial expert and author in Oxford, England. Terry, welcome to the program.
Hi.
First things first, do you think it's appropriate that when a bank the size of J.P. Morgan makes a bet that has the possible downside of $3 to $4 billion, that they need to report that to the feds or the SEC in the same way that you need to put up reserves to cover possible losses in traditional banking?
Well, I think that when a bank, I guess the first question is, what does it mean to say that they've put on a trade that could lose, that could possibly lose that amount of money? You know, that kind of statement is based upon some analysis that someone would have done about the transaction in the first place. You look at historical data, you look at you know, how prices in that particular transaction, that type of financial product, have moved in the past. And as a result, it gives you a sense of the kind of risk that you have.
All right. But when you say that, it sounds like you're suggesting that it's unknowable, that sort of downside, when Jamie Dimon himself says this was stupid.
Well, downside is an interesting, it's not, there is not a definitive amount of money that you know that you're going to make or you know that you're going to lose when you put on a transaction, of any financial transaction that you put on. And the fact is that when you buy stock, the price can go up, the price can go down. We actually don't know exactly how much it's going to go up or down in the future. That's something we don't know.
That's stocks, though. The derivatives are a little bit different since the losses can be exponential. And if you add sort of margin calls and other sort of dynamics that amplify the result, it can be pretty wacky.
Well, but the analysis is the same. Derivatives are... they are based on the prices of underlying financial products, which we're all familiar with, like stocks or bonds. And so the price of a derivative, in most cases, is something that we can monitor, is the same kind of information that we have about the price of a derivative and its historical data as we have about the price of a stock or a bond. And when you look at putting on any financial transaction, be it a stock or a bond or a derivative transaction, you've got to make some assumptions about how that particular transaction might behave in the future. And again, we don't know. We make some assumptions, and our best guess generally is based on some historical data.
Right. Well, then why did these people get fired? If the way it operates at J.P. Morgan is, hey, go ahead, make some trades, you know, losing $2 billion is possible.
Well, I don't know exactly what happened in the J.P. Morgan case, but what I do know is that when my understanding is that this was some sort of hedge, and the media on this has been very conflicting, so it's very hard to determine exactly what's happened. But when a bank puts on when a bank does its job, which is facilitating access to financial markets, providing liquidity to financial markets to their clients, doing, in many cases, some tailored transactions for their clients. Banks take risk, and they have a risk management process which is meant to monitor and quantify the amount of risk they've taken with some reasonable amount of certainty.
Did that fail here, or is that working perfectly?
It certainly sounds like there needs to be an investigation into the analysis that was done and the decisions that were made. The fact is that when you make these sorts of quantifications, when you do this sort of analysis, some judgment has to go in to that analysis. So you basically say, look, is the historical data we're using, is it the right set of historical data? Is the assumptions that we're making, do they make sense? And a bunch of questions like that need to be discussed.
Right, which is why in aviation, if a pilot who uses judgment flies a plane into the side of a mountain, there is an investigation and an attempt
Absolutely.
To prevent that from happening again. Are you saying that there doesn't need to be anything more but an investigation?
Oh no, I'm we're on the same page here,
okay.
Because whenever something like this happens, you have to question what process has been gone through, what decisions were made, who made those decisions, why were they made, and what's happened. Because losses like this shouldn't be happening, but they do. And you know, to my mind, I think we have to be very realistic about what regulation
right.
can and cannot, you know, do for us. I mean, regulation ultimately, at the end of the day, still relies upon someone making a judgment about, you know, whether some analysis makes sense or not. And is it
your view on this judgment question that the folks at J.P. Morgan understood very, very well the risks that they were taking and that went up the command chain, and that, as the New York Times is reporting, Jamie Dimon must have known about the risks that were being taken here because it's the way it works?
Well, I don't know what happened exactly at J.P. Morgan. I can't comment on that. But I certainly know that what should happen is that the people that are doing the analysis, the people that are making those decisions and those judgments should be very experienced in those products, in those markets, and they should understand risk management. And for a transaction of this size, it should definitely have gone up the chain. And if it didn't, then questions need to be raised.
If you'd made this trade and lost $2 billion, would you expect to get fired?
You know, I haven't had the privilege of making those decisions, I'm afraid, in the past.
You want to give us your 30-second job pitch for maybe joining a bank at Dillion? No, hey, thanks. We really appreciate you allowing us to push you around this morning. Terry Dia is a financial expert and author, former derivatives trader with J.P. Morgan. Thanks so much, Terry.
Thank you.
You want to be down at the shareholders meeting where Jamie Dimon meets the shareholders for J.P. Morgan Chase, and we'll have to explain this a little bit further. Tell us what you think his explanation should be, or if you are a J.P. Morgan Chase shareholder, we'd love to hear your question for the CEO. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.